you so much. God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you're here. God, we pray for an open heaven. We pray for your anointing to flow in this house. And Holy Spirit, have your way. We pray tonight that all that we say and do, may it be for your glory. And God's people say, amen. 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 Come on, if you love him, come on, give him a shout of praise. We love you, Jesus. You can go ahead and be seated. Do you love him?
Yes.
Are you excited?
Yes.
Good. I don't want to take much time tonight. We have a special guest with us. I want to just give some information quickly. Brother Dan will be with us tomorrow at 7 p.m. and also on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And if you're new to this church family, I see some new faces. Welcome. My name is Kevin Kasimi. I'm part of the pastoral team here. And we're a simple church family. We love God and we love one another. Amen.
Amen.
And so if you are somebody who's visiting, you don't have a home church and would like to connect with us, in front of the seats, you have a little connect card. Please fill that out on your way out. You can drop it in the drop box. And hopefully, I make sure that somebody follows up with you. Amen. Also, for tonight, there are different ways you can sow into Brother Dan. Once again, he doesn't ask for nothing. It's kind of funny. I was speaking to him on the phone. And I was like, which hotel do you want to stay in? He said, none. I said, none? He said, just put me with a family. I said, okay, so what do you like to eat? He said, I don't eat much. And I thought, God, did you send us John the Baptist? I said, man, this is super easy. This is amazing. And so, you know, he just have zero requirements in the sense of like, just want to come and love on people and share the gospel freely. But if you feel in your heart, you can go to identitychurch.org, go on giving, you know, and you can just choose special offering. And on your way out tonight, you know, of the services done, you get a couple of offering baskets. If you feel like it, just drop something off. But apart from that, I'm excited for tonight because before I invite Brother Dan to come forward, we've been talking in this past couple of weeks about holiness, about reverence and the fear of the Lord. And we've been talking about that the heart matters. Because, you know, Proverbs says that guard your hearts above all else because from it springs forth the issues of life and affects everything that you do. And I love how, you know, Brother Dan always says it's in the Bible, but with all your gettings, get understanding. And we've been talking from Peter that, you know, God didn't call us to do holy. 1 Peter 1:15 says, be holy. You remember how I always say we're not a human doing, we're a human being. We don't work towards our salvation, we work out our salvation. But there is something that the church has forgotten, which I really pray that tonight that we will grasp, that it will not be just another conference or an event that we do. Peter said, be holy as he is holy. And then he said, be holy in all your conduct or behavior or conversation. Why is this important? Is because when Christ in us, the hope of glory, lives inside of us, he's not just calling us to salvation, but he's calling us to transformation. And so tonight I've been praying and asking the Lord, Lord, as we're hearing a message tonight, let the word of God fall on good soil. God, give us grace to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And I'm just praying for not an event or a conference, I'm praying for an impartation. Amen. Do you love the Lord?
Yes.
Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I open up my heart, and my eyes.
Give me wisdom
and understanding to receive from you. I love you in Jesus' name. Can we just tell Brother Dan how much we love him and honor him tonight? Yes. Come on.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, buddy. Okay. Praise God. Am I on? Yeah? Good. Just so you understand that eating thing, I probably do eat a little too much. It's just when I travel, I just don't like to eat before service. And then it's late and I don't like to eat after service. And then I'm a zero breakfast guy, so I don't eat that much when I travel. So I'll do lunch today. I did lunch. I'll do lunch tomorrow and I'll do lunch Sunday and we'll be good. Yeah, so I'm pretty low maintenance. I stay in homes because I like to stay. I like people. I do. I like the adventure of staying in homes and meeting new people and getting to know folks. And I don't care if they have pets, and the more kids, the better. I'm in this grandbaby drought, so I hear this voice to steal your kids, but I've been fighting it off for years. Years, I've been fighting it off, so I'm not going to steal your kids. But, shoo, that's not good. Man, I'm in a baby drought. Come on, do it, Lord. My son was in a cabin with his wife last week. They had a gift certificate for a bed and breakfast, and he said, hey, we're in our new... Or we're in our getaway suite and stuff. And I said, great, exclamation point, make a baby. That's what I said on my text. Great, make a baby. Man, I'm ready for a baby. Already said that, didn't I? Okay. Well, look, I'm just glad to be here. I really am. I told Pastor I travel because I want to. I take this invite. I'm here because I want to. I could be a bunch of places. This YouTube thing seems out of control, but it's good. A lot of people watching. I get a lot of invites. I could be a lot of places right now. I'm here because I want to be. I read his email and I said, okay, I do about 3% of my invites. About 97% of them I never get to respond to. So you're the 3%. I could pick the biggest churches, I guess. I guess I could do the fancy conference. I don't know. I could do a lot of things. I'm just glad I'm here right now. I just feel like it's right. And I'm glad you're here. You guys showed up, man. I was driving. I got off the turnpike. Took me through the Ohio farmland. And I've been through it before. You guys got serious farmland. But it was like 38 miles to my destination. And I thought, well, I'll just get gas when I get towards the house that I'm going to. And I guess when you live here, you got to learn how to handle all that. Depends where you're at and where you're going. So I literally drove about 32 miles and didn't see one trace of a gas station. I thought everybody had electric cars around here or something. I was looking at some of the cars. I thought, no, they're gas cars. I didn't see a gas station. I said, well, I got about 30 miles left on my tank. My range said that, and I thought, there's got to be a gas station within that mileage somewhere. I'll just go to the house. Well, when I got to the turn to the house, I saw a sign to a gas station. So I went up over the hill, and then it was like this town. There was a Walmart and all kinds of stuff there on 173. That's the first gas station I saw in 30 couple miles. Wow. I was fascinated. So... Yeah, that was Ohio, but what a blessing, all that farmland, huh? So, yeah, just good to be here. Listen, Jesus, if you're not born again, I really wish you were. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, if you don't have God in you, you can't love like God loves. I don't care how much you feel love, what you call love, what you say is love, God is love. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you can't love like God loves. See, the love we grew up with and we know has a self-centered twist to it. It's kind of like, I love you, but I love you if, I love you, do you love me? Super conditional. The people we say, I love you, we've actually hurt the most and been hurt by the most. The average Christian in America believes the people closest to you can hurt you the most. And yet they're the people we say we love. And love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Because it doesn't seek its own. So I'm wondering what love we're talking about when we get so busted up by each other because it's not God's love. The precious family that's hosting me, I'm a little stirred up right now anyway. We just had fun. The Thomases, I don't know if they're here, but we had fun in their house. And I said this to them. I said, I don't know if you think about this, but wonder if God wasn't love. See, we just take God for granted if we're not careful. He's the way... We learn him to be. He's the way the word says he is. He's going to forgive us. He's merciful. He's kind. He's a provider. He's a protector. We hope he's Jehovah Jireh. We hope he's Rafa. But we just know, oh, well, God will forgive me. I've heard Christians say that loosely. Oh, well, God will forgive me. When the conscience is violated, oh, well, God will forgive me. We kind of paint the person of God. But we take him for granted if we're not careful. Wonder if he wasn't love. Do you ever think this way? Wonder if God was almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, and wasn't love. That would be scary. Be pretty hard to approach him. You couldn't have confidence with God if you didn't know he was love. You didn't know if you could even approach him. Wonder if you were on the bad side of God. Wonder if mercy didn't triumph over judgment. Wonder if love didn't cover a multitude of sin. Wonder if you could strike out. Wonder if your personality just rubbed him wrong. Come on, don't take this for granted, because they're all things we're familiar with. They're all things we've grown up with. They're all things that we would all call normal. And if we say from the pulpit they're not normal, then we're high-minded, hypo-spiritual, and we need to keep it real, brother, and relate. But when I look at him, I don't see any of that in him. And he told me to follow him. And he said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. And greater things, because I'm going to my Father. He said he's the firstborn among many brethren. 1 John 2 says, if you say you abide in him, you ought to walk even as he walked. Ephesians 5 says that we ought to be like dear children. We ought to be imitators of God as dear children. And love just like he loved. John also said, if he loved us this way, ought we not love one another? This word love isn't a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's agape. It's love. It's selfless. And I promise you guys, sorry for this passion. I come out all intense. I wanted to smile and be sweet and kind. And I do. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm crying my heart out. As this thing comes on me when I stand in front of people, it feels like it's burning in me. It's like a heart cry. It's like, let's not miss this moment. Let's not miss what God was doing through his Son on the cross. Let's not just go to VBS and now I lay me down to sleep and bless our food and... talk about the time so-and-so prayed a prayer to go to heaven at the funeral. Let's not miss this. God had a reason for sending his Son. If you think about God, he's love. Like, Jesus, I know I'm a preacher, I'm supposed to know this, but it flips me out. I'm 27 years saved, I can't get over it. Like, Jesus came through a woman and put on a body and took on the likeness of sinful flesh to fulfill what flesh failed, to flip this thing back to the way it was intended. Like, Jesus paid a price to right this thing. To redemption means brought back to original value. In other words, the way he intended me to be, grace will empower me to be if I'll surrender. Now, if I pray for a blessing, if I just want provision, if I just want to go to heaven when I die, I probably won't understand what I'm so passionate about. But he wants to change me on the inside. He wants me to stop making me first priority and make his great name first priority. He wants me to make you first priority after his name. Aren't we to consider others more highly than ourselves? Not to only seek our own interest, but the interest of others? Fascinates me how we're discouraged, offended, frustrated, fearful, anxiety. We think it's normal. It's not normal. It's deception. It's what we became, living separate from God. But we're not separate from God. He's not just with us. He's in us. And he said, we're new creations, and old things have passed away, and all things have become new. All things have become, all things. I bet he's talking about motive, mindset, reason for being, attitude. I bet he's not just talking about forgiveness. I bet he's talking about change. I bet he's not just talking about forgiveness. But he's talking about new life through Jesus Christ. I bet he's talking about living by the Spirit. I bet he's talking about putting on Christ. not just praying your needs list. And then being discouraged if three of them don't come to pass. So now you're not even sure if you want to pray anymore. Because it never works when I pray anyway. You ever see somebody mad at God? They think it makes sense. Because of the way they're thinking. They're mad at God. Whew. Man, what a mess up there without even realizing it. You're just telling everything around you that it's all about you and you ain't happy. And God ain't doing it good enough. And I don't know why. It's a giveaway that you aren't in covenant. That all that is yours isn't His. You just want all that is His to be yours. I can show you two places in the Bible where Christians don't complain. So I don't know who I've been hanging around with for 27 years. I'm not being mean. I said that with a laugh. I'm not being mean. I did not come here to spank you. I came here to tell you who you are, to protect you, to keep you from doing this. I can show you two places where Christians don't complain. And He says, if you do, you're going to be destroyed by the destroyer. You're going to be devoured by the one that devours. And then we complain, things happen, and we say, why is God? And it ain't even Him at all. But because we have a grid for complaining, it's got to be somewhere. Something got to be wrong, but don't look at me. See, when you complain, it's self-centeredness. It means that you're sending a message that it's about you and you ain't satisfied that your preference is, Lord, and it's being violated or unfulfilled. Well, that makes you a simple target for adversity. You're not unaware of His devices, the enemy, and you give Him no place. Come on, I'm just crying out my heart. Listen. God's looking for a surrendered people. It's not a legalistic, weird thing. It's just a people that understand I was not created for my image. I was created for His. I still got my facial features, my hair color. I still got me, but He's in me. And the Christ in me is the only hope of glory. And the word glory is any manifested, realized, seen attribute of God. Any awareness, any seeing of who God is in my life is the glory of God revealed. So the Christ that's in me is the only hope of making God seen and known. That's a whole different topic than just getting your baskets filled and your vats full. We have to be so careful today in this world with everything going on. I'm watching my friends. I've even seen my friends freak out over some of this stuff, like lose their heart, the heart of God over politics and get mad at people and feel resentful and stuff that God never is. And be okay with it and actually try to justify it. Wonder if God had that justification for you. Wonder if He said, well, you know how they are. Well, they don't really want to change. And all of a sudden, He just had a poor resume toward you. Wonder if the Lord handled us like we handle us. Well, they should have never. Well, I don't know why they. Well, they're the ones who started. Well, how come did you even talk to them? Well, I don't know. Well, I would have never if they didn't. Did you ever hear Jesus talk like that? Did He ever teach us that? Then where'd we learn it? Because if it ain't Him, then why is it okay if it's us? He made us for His image. He said, follow me. He called us the light of the world. Christian means little Christ-like one. You're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. Watch. If you're discouraged, you ain't shining bright. If you're frustrated, you ain't shining. If you're self-centered, you ain't shining. You're only as good as your day's going. You're a prisoner to your moment. You're a prisoner to your circumstances. And your life reveals who you are and how you're doing, and that's deception. But then you get tricked into praying about that, hoping that changes, and call that spiritual because you're praying, but it all has to do with you. And that's why you're not encouraged. Even though you're forgiven, filled with the Spirit, name written in the book of life, somehow you're not encouraged. Phew, this is intense. Are you okay? I didn't see this coming. Like, this is intense. I'm not even comfortable right now. No, I'm serious. I didn't. You wanted a title. It's your fault, Mr. Soundbuddy. Hey, do you have a title? I said, I don't even know what I'm saying. I said, if you can come up with a title, praise God. Then I stand up here and I feel all nice. I still feel nice, I promise you. I'm not mad. Can you tell I'm not mad at you? I didn't drive here to spank you. I drove here to tell you who you are, I promise.
That's right. Come on.
I didn't come here because you're wrong. I came here because you're His. Yay. I don't think I'm talking to a room of hypocrites. I think I'm talking to His people. I'm talking plain because I believe if you hear this thing and make an adjustment, how do you weigh it? How do you measure it? If we could just walk in love, people, and I believe we can. I promise you, it's love that's missing. It's love that's missing. It's what the enemy is focusing to keep out of the body. Let everything else happen. Just don't let them truly become love. Why? Because if you don't have love, watch. You can have all knowledge, not some, all. All knowledge, all mysteries, all faith, every mountain. That's a spiritual icon, people. That's the closest thing to Jesus we've ever seen. And we want impartation from that person. Keynote speaker at the World Conference. All knowledge, all mysteries. 1 Corinthians 13. All knowledge, all mysteries, all faith, every mountain. And if you don't have love, nothing. You miss the whole point. Now you're just riding gifting and somehow it has to do with you, your image. Next thing you know, your heart's hurt or your identity's coming from accolade. Next thing you know, you're sleeping with somebody that's not your wife. And we say, well, you know what? I'm not being mean. Listen, you can't live by the Spirit and live that way. Something's wrong. You're finding your identity through something outside of Him, and there's no true identity outside of Christ. You can't find you unless you look through Him. Or people are going to dictate you. Expressions are going to dictate you. Fair treatment, unfair treatment's going to dictate you. You're going to let everything matter more than what matters most. And it's Christ. He died on the cross because He saw your value, your destiny, and your purpose. I was taught my whole life by preachers. He died on the cross because He saw my sin. He had to die because I sinned. But He didn't die because I'm a sinner. He died because I was lost. He came to save that which was. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And we say, and nobody goes to heaven except through Him. That's not what He said. And no one comes to the Father. He's trying to restore relationship and get me back grafted into the eternal one. Sure, I'll have everlasting life. The goal is relationship, not my name in the book. Wonder if we learned to do church so good and realize we never became her. And in love. Love never fails. Love doesn't give up on people. Love doesn't write people off. Love doesn't say, whatever. Well, I'm just mad. Well, it takes time. I know I'm supposed to forgive, but it takes time. You ask Jesus if that's true. Why are you so confident that that's true? That's not true. It takes time in the fall of man. It doesn't take time in the Spirit-filled life. Because in the Spirit-filled life, you don't even have a grid for unforgiveness. Because nobody owes you a thing. Read your Bible in Romans. No one owes you a thing. You owe no man anything but to love. The first and greatest commandment is love God with all you are, your heart, your soul, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Uh-oh, wonder if you don't even like yourself. See, this thing's all about love. So if you don't find your identity through Christ, you won't see yourself clear. If you don't see yourself clear, you don't have a good look at your neighbor. So now your neighbor bothers you. Now you want a new job because you can't stand your coworkers. Well, you'll run into somebody at your next job because it's you that needs to change. That's why people leave churches all the time. Lack of communication, preference. Well, it used to be a nice church. Well, I think, well, it just got a little, I don't know. And then you church shop. After three, yeah? And all of a sudden, what's the use? And people are, I sit on planes all the time. Well, I used to go to church, but people are just blah, 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 blah. Really? So they've allowed that, you've allowed that to put something in you. So now, and I'll talk to them, I'll call them on it, right on an airplane. I can usually have them, I'm not joking. I can usually have them crying in 5 minutes when they, no, I'm not joking. I'm on it, I'm ready. Like, I'm surrendered, I'm saved. I'm 27 years saved. I'm not calm. I'm not like, well, it's a long journey, brother. We'll just ease our way down the road. No. No. There's people around me being deceived. There's people saying stuff that I got answers for. I can get them crying. Sometimes in 5 minutes, they're crying. Because they realize they're taking life personal and missing God and hiding behind language. They don't even know Him. They're not even manifesting Him. There's nothing about their life that's light. They're survival mode at best. Are we okay? I was uncomfortable. I don't feel that way anymore. Earlier, I was really uncomfortable. Phew. I was like, no, you have no idea. I know it probably to you looks like it's just pouring out and I had this all pre-planned or something. I'm pouring it out. My mind's going, no. What are we doing? It's the first night. Look at those precious faces. No. It's just, I was like, no, you have no idea. I was like, oh. Yeah. It's not like I'm up here, I'm going to let them have it. No, I'm like, no. But it's real stuff. Look, wonder if God wasn't love. Who knew better and didn't do what they knew better? Whoever just did something, that's everybody. Who lived that way for a long time and didn't even have the conscience to address it? Wonder if God was like us. See, we get it back. He made us like Him. That's what got lost through sin. That's what Jesus is restoring. So He came and showed us the Father. He said, when you see me, you've seen Him. Follow me. Because He made you to manifest Him. So don't just come to me for blessing. Don't just come to me for protection. Don't just come to me for provision. Don't just come to me for eternal life. Come to me, for my life. And we preach this self-serving, beneficial gospel in this nation, and we actually raise up people that complain and discouragement is normal. We think it's a legitimate altar call. Like, who of you has had a challenging week? And the piano's playing, who of you have been discouraged? It just was really rough at your job and people didn't appreciate. And people are like, ooh. And I said, what are you going to pray for? Just to feel better? It's a smoke screen. That's not an altar call. The tears don't mean God's moving. The more you talk about their trouble, the harder they're crying because they're focused on it. And you say, oh, look at God moving. No, God's not moving. Sorry. It's not an article. We got to teach people how not to be broken. We got to teach people why they can stay where they're at and shine. They don't have to run from trouble. They don't have to run from people. Nobody owes you a thing, friend. Love says that. The Bible shows you that. Scripture teaches that. But if you wake up and it's all about you having a better day, then you're going to need people to do right. You can just wake up and be married and your spouse just a little off that morning, a little quiet, doesn't say nothing, have a little headache, they don't admit it, and they're just a little quiet and they leave and you're a little insecure because they were a little quiet. And now you're standing there wondering, why are they a little quiet? Now your mind's spinning. Now you talk to your friend. Well, they were a little quiet. Well, you know, maybe they. And now you got this one-sided, analytical, demonic thing going on, but you don't realize it's demonic. You're not evil. You're being deceived. and now you're more self-conscious, and now 2 friends later, you're sure there's some stronghold in your marriage. And then when they come home, it's weird in the room because you're waiting for response. You're looking at them through these eyes that you've painted all day. And they don't have a chance. And then you say, see? Oh my goodness, it is true. Oh. Yeah, he just, oh my goodness, he just walked right by me. This ain't good. I bet he's sleeping with somebody. No, his head was hurting a little in the morning and he had a lot on his mind and he just didn't talk about it. But see, you're waking up for him to be something towards you, and if he's waking up for you to be something towards him, you're in trouble. You're both in trouble. But if you're waking up to love, if you're just waking up to shine, if I wake up in the morning and I don't need you to find my identity because I found me through Jesus and I'm actually very secure in that truth, and I don't need you to even love me, but I'm not trying to make you angry and not like me, right? But I don't truly need you to say one nice thing to me because I'm fulfilled in Christ. Woo-hoo! You see what's wrong with me? You see why I'm a madman? No, I've been a madman for 27 years. I tell people what you see in me on a weekend, you'll see every time you ever see me, and I might be worse. My friends say, you're worse. The friends that knew me since I've been saved said, you are way worse. Do you think I haven't experienced life? Do you think everybody's done everything good? Do you think all my family members made perfect decisions? Do you think we haven't lost him? My brother just fell over dead a couple months ago. Just fell over dead in a store. Just fell over dead without warning. You can't tell that. You can't see that. It doesn't mean I don't miss him. It just doesn't dominate my life because of the blood of Jesus Christ. My brother's in the eternal presence of Almighty God. We already won. We didn't lose. We won. Sins are forgiven. He's forever sealed in the glory of God. Forever. And I'm going to let missing him in the natural trump eternity? No, friend, not this believer. Yeah, I'm bringing it right now. I feel like I'm preaching in your church, man. See? Because it's a believer. That's all you should be guilty of when you stand before God. He believed me. Because if you believed him, your life will show it. When you're discouraged, when you're hurt, when you're offended. Come on. You ain't believing. When you're taking a person's words greater than God's word, calling, commission, identity through Christ, come on. We're going to let one person decide who I am and how I am, and they ain't Jesus? That's proof that you're finding your identity through people. You're finding your value through people. I'm not totally against social media. I'm very concerned about it. There's a whole bunch of insecure people on there. They're debating and hashing and they're counting thumbs up and down and they're checking all the thumbs down and seeing what people are saying and they ain't even ready to handle it. Why are you even in the arena anyway? Well, I'm ministering. Take a walk on the street. Look in somebody's eyes. Turn off your phone and go love somebody. Well, it's my ministry. Stop that. I'm done with that. It's my ministry. No, it's a smokescreen. Oh, I'll get some emails for this one. It's okay. I don't read them. I have a girl that reads them all. And then she probably just throws them away. I don't know. I'm not preaching to get emails. I'm preaching that if you have ears to hear what I'm saying, you believe it's God, then apply it to your life through faith and prayer and watch how grace begins to transform things. That's why I'm preaching. He invited me. I said, okay. They gave me a lapel mic and here we are. That's all I know. I'm not building a ministry. I'm not building anything. I'm not a ministry. I don't have a bunch of prayer people in line. I don't have a number that's popping up for you can call us for prayer. I'm just a guy that lives his life in Jesus and people ask me to preach. I'm just that simple. And when I sit on an airplane, I'm more than a preacher. When I walk through a parking lot, I'm way more than a preacher. I love people. Because I finally see who I am. So I can love my neighbor as myself. Because on my darkest day, he didn't lose sight of me. And he said, son, your life's worth living. And when I put myself in you, you're worth paying for too. Don't say you don't have value. You have value in me. And all of a sudden, I'm yielding to Him, and I realize the cross is a restoration of all things. It's not just the forgiveness of sins. He didn't just die on the cross to forgive me of sins. He wanted to put His life in me. He wants to redeem and restore and transform everything about my life.
Whoa. And I get it now.
27 years I've had that. I get it. That's why I'm so confident when I speak, because I know how I live. Woo! So I'm either a sicko and don't fear the Lord. Or I know what I'm saying, and it gives me great confidence. See, boldness isn't arrogance.
Yeah. Ooh, I feel that. That's just good. See? See? Because of confidence, you say, oh, that's arrogant. No.
Boldness isn't arrogance. See, nobody knows you like you. That's why when He says, love your neighbor as yourself, you better know you for you in God. You better understand how to walk out your faith. You better understand how to deal with your conscience, how to receive forgiveness, how to move forward, how to not get stuck and get condemned and guilty and ashamed. You better learn how to not let things hit your identity if it's apart from truth. Because all of those things affect how you see others. The way you see you is the eye you're looking at them with. Scripture tells you that. So if you're nitpicky, fault-finding, and self-condemned, you'll see what's wrong in people. You won't see the best in them. You won't believe the best. Love believes the best. Love doesn't even think any evil. Well, I bet she just... The Bible says to avoid the appearance of evil. I'm like, okay, avoid the appearance of evil. And we stumble people, but if it's only the appearance of evil, not evil, why do we have to be so conscious to avoid the appearance if it's not evil in itself? Because people think evil. Because they're not perfected in love.
Ain't that something?
When I'm looking for the lady that fell back into crack, and I'm walking through a crack house looking for her, true story, and then I can't find her, so I go to another crack house, and the prostitute comes to my window and looks in and says, hey honey, what are you doing in this part of town? And I grab her wrist and start crying and say, you're asking the wrong question, what are you doing in this part of town? Because if you had any idea who you were, you wouldn't be here doing what you're doing. And she said, you don't know me. You don't know me. I said, I know you. You don't know me. She's cursing, swearing. Them girls are packing. They got blades. But I just held on. I don't know why. It's just the Lord had her. She's trying to get away, cursing and swearing. I said, honey, stop. I'm going to let you go, but I need your help. Why would I help you? I said, just don't run away. I let her go. She just stood there. Talked to her about the girl I'm looking for. I said, don't play me. I grew up on these streets. I know you know her. Well, why should I tell you? Because I love her. Not like a man loves a woman. This isn't some soap opera movie scene. Like God loves her and like God loves you. I love her. You've got to tell me where she is. She said, well, I can show you. She got in my truck and we drove away. What did that look like? Never even thought about it till the morning. I was laying in my bed. I went, oh. What did that look like? All you need is one Christian. One to see that. Not Pastor Dan, no. No! And listen, I'm just telling you this so we can pray. I don't know anything wrong. But I just need you to... And by morning... The whole church knows, but no one talked to me. By morning, they call it a prayer chain. You say, well, what are you supposed to do? I mean, you're supposed to believe the best. Boy, I don't know what that girl's thinking getting in his truck. I know that man. That girl's getting in his truck. Something's about to go down. Jesus going to get on that girl. She ain't never had a pickup like this. I don't even know what she... God, get her good. Instead of, oh my God! As if I'm getting a favor from her. No, she's taking me to somebody that's lost, that slipped back through the cracks into darkness. And we need to get her. That lady's worth the blood of Jesus. She ain't a prostitute. She's just deceived and confused. Her value is so diminished, she's living up to the low level in which she sees herself.
And somebody needs to show her she's more than what she believes. And if I got that opportunity, I'm going to take it. So she shows me my girl, and she don't let me drop her off on the corner because she doesn't want them to see her get out of my truck. And then I go back to get her, and they know she squealed. And that's street life. She's used to living in the shadows. She's telling me, we're driving down the street. I'm looking everywhere. She said, you need to stop looking so conspicuous and obvious. I said, honey, I came out of the shadows a long time ago. So I said, well, where do you want me to take you? She said, go up here and turn into that alley. Why'd we go in there? Because that's where she goes. Why? Ain't no street lights in that alley. Look, you don't have to agree with me tonight. I'm not one bit afraid of that alley. I ain't afraid of her in my truck. I want her there because Jesus wants her there. Holy Spirit didn't convict me. I never thought twice about picking her up. If I'd have thought twice, I'd have never put her in my truck. That's why when I woke up in the morning and thought about it, I went, oh. Because I just knew it was God. We go in that alley. It's dark in that. Ain't a street light. That's where she takes her pickups. That's where she go in that alley. So I took her in that alley. This ain't the same pickup. She asked me for money for cigarettes. I said, well, listen, I want to know why you do what you do, honey. And I was crying. I got tears in my eyes. My voice is shaking. I'm crying over her. Why? I love her. Why? She's made for God's image and she's lost and she doesn't know it. I don't have to know her. I don't have to be relational and arm hook her in life to say I love her. I love her because of her value destiny. She's a human being. There's a time to be born. She's predestined to be adopted as a daughter. I get it. You never regard a man by the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5, read your Bible. If you're alive because he died, then you who are alive should no longer judge any man according to the flesh. So you shouldn't look and go, oh, they're just, oh, look at them. Oh, brother, wow, give me, cut me a break. No, if somebody's living outside of destiny, they're lost and confused and don't know who they are. That should make you cry. That shouldn't make you agitated. That should make you feel merciful. That shouldn't frustrate you. That should make you feel like you want to cry and pray, not judge. Come on, first impressions are not from God. Walking in a room and figuring out the room and who you like and who you don't and who you'll get close to and who you'll avoid and stereotype. Not the Lord. I know we were all trained that way, but we were homeschooled in the wrong home. It's time to come back home and quit just preaching, pray a prayer to go to heaven. No, let's get heaven back into us. Let's get the life of God back into us. Let's get transformed. Let's get taught by Jesus. Yeah, he said, take of me and eat of me. He said, learn of me. He said, if you're heavy laden, and your burden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. He said, learn of me. He's not just my Savior. He's my model for life. When I see Him, I see the Father. Why would He tell me to follow Him? Because He wants people, when they see me, to see the Father. Why? Because I'm a light. And let your light so shine before men that they see your life lived, your good works, and glorify the Father. Woo! So I had her in that alley and I said, why do you do what you do? She started crying. She said, for my babies. I do it for my babies. I'm trying to raise my babies. I said, honey, you could work at Walmart and raise your babies. You have an addiction. I said, I really need to pray for you. Never seen anything like it, Kevin. She gets against my truck and totally freaks out. I'm talking swinging at the air, screaming, saying, why do you care about me so much? She didn't even know what to do with genuine love because she's never been loved in her life. She's only been used for what she has to give to a man. She's only been used by men her whole life. She has never been loved. And I have the privilege in an alley with no street lights to love her in Christ Jesus. And she don't even know what to do. She's screaming, swinging. Why do you care? Why do you? It's like manifestation freak out. And I stayed calm and said, because I know who you are. You keep saying you know me. I took her and I calmed her down. And I got her shoulders and made her look me in the eyes and tilt her chin. You always, because they always want to look down. You get their chin. You make them look. You tilt her chin and you start telling her who she is. And she falls on my chest like she's my own daughter.
and sobs and cries, and I hold her in that house. She ain't never had a pickup like this. Here's the thing I want to tell you all about. We're always down on that woman that's living that way. Nobody ever says a word about the man that picks her up. That man that picks her up ain't on the earth to take advantage of the vulnerability of an addicted woman. He's on the earth to give people Christ. And we think she's the one with the big problem. The men picking her up are probably more accountable when they stand before the Lord and will be judged in a greater way for not giving Christ to a vulnerable person. Taking advantage of their vulnerability for a self-serving, self-centered moment at the expense of a woman's soul. I am not on the earth to live at your expense. I'm on the earth to lay down my life. And you think I'm going to capitalize on her vulnerability? You say, well, you're in an alley. Nobody knows. You would know. Your conscience would know. She either live in denial, a smokescreen, and hypocrisy, or you sear it, or you get real and you get right with God. Man, I don't know what's going on, buddy, but you all right?
Yes.
Come on. There's so many ways we can love and be like Jesus in public. That one girl, that's priceless. Jesus seems to think it's worth coming through the womb of a woman, living 30 years before he even steps into ministry and gets water baptized by John. And then living about 3 years on the earth and getting totally rejected by men, totally abused by men, in the human sense abused, challenged, judged, and ultimately killed and crucified. He must really think a lot of her. He must really think a lot of you. To do what he did, that's not misunderstand and turn it into a Christmas Easter thing. To do what he's God, was, is to come. Nothing was made that wasn't made through him. He came to his own and his own knew him not, and he stayed here and manifested the Father. He must really know who we are. He must really have a love for us. He mustn't be mad. He's really something. I honor him so much, I just want to follow him. You know, I just happen to be maybe foolish enough to take him at his word, and he said, follow me, and I just think there's a way. I just think it's possible. I just think that wonderful person, Holy Spirit, is going to help me if I'm willing. Yeah, I'll betcha. So he taught me some amazing things way early on, Kevin. He taught me that when I wake up in the morning, that I settle in my heart and through prayer, I don't pray a whole list of needs and I don't throw my genie in a bottle list out there right away. I just wake up in the morning and I just put on Christ and I just settle in my heart. Nobody owes me a thing. Nobody owes me a thing. I have no expectations from men. My expectations are from the Lord. There's no one on the earth that owes me one single thing. Nobody can disappoint me. Nothing can sneak up on me. I took away all the lines, the chips off the shoulder. Oh my goodness, I'm on the earth for one reason, to walk in love and to manifest Christ. It's why I'm alive. It's why I'm alive. I'm going to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Come on. Today's church, very easy in America, very easy to be a Christian for 100 other reasons. Very easy to be a Christian for your own gain, your own sake. That's why you're discouraged. That's why you don't even want to pray. Well, I don't know why God doesn't even answer my prayer. I don't even know why I bother praying. Alarm goes off at 6. You didn't sleep good that night. You get up to go to the bathroom twice. You were unsettled. Now it's 6. Lord, I don't know why you don't let me sleep at night. If you don't change that, I really need grace or I'm never getting through. You know my schedule. Come on, God. We call it prayer. That's a self-centered, self-focused delusion. You're not finding any grace. And now you're going to work and you're frustrated and you already got yourself tired before you're tired because analytically you said you got to be tired. And you have every reason for it and every justification. And hey, if you knew my life, so then when you come home, your kids and don't, and now you demand certain things and for them to expect and understand certain things. And not one ounce of it is Christ, not one of it's manifesting life. Ain't that something? So the alarm goes off at 6 and you look at it and you go, wow, sure wish it wasn't 6. Be nice if I could sleep another solid hour. That would be nice, but I can't. If Father, I just thank you for grace that's greater than how I feel right now. And the truth is, I'm super thankful. This job that I used to bellyache over, I see it now as a privilege, a mission field, and just a platform to shine as a light without projecting, just going in who I am in you and who you are in me. So what an honor, God, and I thank you that today we'll be lacking no good thing. I appreciate my kids, my wife, and God, I just thank you right now, and you're praying blessings. You're waking up, great heart, body's tired. Jesus is Lord. You're in the bathroom, you sing a little song. Next thing you know, you don't even know you're tired. Now you're at work, something comes up, boom, you have this amazing day. You come home, and you're just walking in love. Probably ought to just put on Christ every morning. Probably ought to just follow the Bible and just put on Christ. I'll quote it for you. I'll quote it just to save time. 2 Corinthians. Let's do Colossians. Colossians 3. I got overwhelmed with a better one. The first one was good, but we took that out, our self-O out of it. Now the second one's gone. Let's do Colossians 3. This one's really good. Don't lie to one another. Why? Because you've put off the old man and his deeds. You don't live anything like you used to. That's the old man. That's the lie. Don't lie to one another since you put off the old man and his deeds. I went to church my whole life till I was 18. Nobody told me what that meant. Nobody even told me that was possible. And if somebody said it was possible, it would have probably been heresy. Well, you're just stuck the way you are, brother. Your mistake waiting to happen. Your sin in the making, sir. Read your Bible. You're supposed to reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. So if you keep boasting in your ability to fail, the lens is going to produce fruit. Now it's justified. You'll never be convicted about your life. Why? You're boxed in with your wrong theology. I'm supposed to wake up and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If I put my heart on righteousness and I represent and members and present my members to righteousness, righteousness itself will produce its fruit to holiness. Now I'm being holy, not doing holy. Why? Because I see myself for who I am. And now Galatians 5 kicks in because I'm living by the Spirit. If I live by the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Whoa, what do you do with that? I guess God's a heretic. He wrote it. I guess our human experience is greater than grace. I guess we're just stuck and doomed and God's talking high. Ain't that something? I didn't wake up to sin this morning. I woke up to shine and to walk in love. I was righteous when my eyes opened because the blood is speaking better things. That puts diligence right here. That puts discipline right here. That puts humility right here. That puts a reverence for God. I'm not taking that for granted. It actually cleans and cleanses my heart. Puts a whole new desire in me and a whole new makeup in me. All of a sudden, I ain't warring and wrestling and fighting and wanting to do one thing and biting my lip. All of a sudden, you put yourself here in righteousness. It produces its fruit to holiness. And what I see, I start becoming. Am I preaching perfection? I'm preaching purity. But we won't hear it because of the word perfection. No, he's saying he's perfect. He never sins. I knew there was something wrong with this guy. That's what people do. That's what they say. They can't even hear the message. And it's what Jesus paid for. He paid for righteousness. He rules his kingdom with a scepter of righteousness. That makes you right in the sight of God. Not wrong, right. Not wrong, right. If he forgave you of all your sin, you're forgiven. So now what? I guess you ought to be sons and daughters. If he cleansed you of all unrighteousness, I guess you probably ought to be righteous. And probably give him glory and love him more and appreciate the gospel. Instead of feeling dirty and remembering dirty and regretting dirty and desiring dirty and then doing dirty because you believe you're dirty. Ain't that something? As a man thinketh, whoa, I found all this in the Bible and I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm not challenging God with our lives. I'm challenging our lives with God. It's different. Many people are challenging God with their lives. Well, yeah, but people, but nobody's really, but yeah, but I knew some men that were really close to God and even they, stop. You're not following them, you're following Jesus. Just stop. Stop letting your personal experience triumph over grace that's here to change us. Say, well, you got to keep it real, brother. That's too high-minded. You got to keep it real. You're not even relating. You're in denial. I guess we'll find out someday if that's the never-ending debate. I guess we'll find out someday. Did you really believe the gospel? Have you communed with Holy Spirit? Have you asked Him to lead you through the day and manifest Christ so you can walk in love and truly follow Jesus? Or have you just held conversations with other Christians in Bible studies and groups and decided through our human experience this stuff can't be lived? Because you're feeling driven instead of spirit led. Make sure that's not you tonight. Come on, I'm calling you into this place. Because what's it matter if we do amazing church? What's it matter if we serve in ministries and keep this thing on the water and wonder if we just do everything? Technically, the Bible says, and we don't become love. And deep in our heart, we're offended at so-and-so. And deep in our heart, we're still in the same room. And we're not even totally happy with Mr. Kevin here. We just don't say it. We're into this anger management. The Bible says, put it off. Not manage it. So that just means you're a professional hypocrite if you manage it. So I'm angry, I'm just not going to let anyone know. No, you know. I'm disciplined, I'm controlled. No, it's hypocrisy. Anger management? That's the world's answer. Read Colossians. Back up a couple of verses where it says, do not lie to one another. It says, you yourself. It's not an altar call. It's not an evil spirit. It's a wrong motive in life. You yourself are to put off anger. How do you do that? Get alone in prayer. Father, I realized through Scripture I was never made for me. Biggest lie of my life, waking up for me every day when I'm made for your image. It's the biggest problem on the planet. Here I thought it was politics. I thought it was the president. I thought it was racial conflict and terrorism. I thought all these things. The biggest problem on the planet is every day people are waking up living for themselves when they're made in your image. And even your church is living for herself and reading all their promise books to get more for themselves and ain't even pursuing your image. Yes. Wow. And I think I had a reason to complain and be frustrated and discouraged. And when people ask a Christian how they're doing, they tell them their two biggest challenges and throw in a keep me in prayer. Well, I've been around us for a long time. How you doing, man? Well, it's been challenging, man, but I'm hanging in there. I'm doing all right. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise God. But, you know, just this and then this and, well, yeah, just keep us in prayer, man. But we're okay. Bless the Lord. Come on. I've been around us. I hope I'm not having too much fun. You ask a Christian how they're doing, they'll tell you their trials. Which means we believe that we're Christians for life to go better. Instead of for us to be like Him in the face of life. See, when somebody betrays you, you're not supposed to be betrayed. You're supposed to be like Christ. When somebody does you wrong, you're not supposed to be done wrong. That doesn't become your identity, your story, and your testimony. Well, you just don't know what I'm going through. I'm kind of tired of talking about it. I've told too many people already. It just feels like, but I just keep me in prayer. God will show you. But I mean, since you asked. Come on. Just are you okay, Pastor? You, Pastor, you've seen all this. Let me ask you a question. Honest question. Pastor's with you?
Yes.
High 90% of our counseling appointments are people struggling with people. Am I telling the truth? Okay. Now I got a question for this wonderful house. If love doesn't seek its own and takes no account of the wrong done to it, why is 100% of our counseling, it's 90-some? Love you, Pastor. Because sometimes it's just vocation, job, stuff, direction. But 90-some percent is people having people issues. And they're hurt. I've sat with people in counseling sessions. They won't talk to each other, but they'll talk to me one-sided. So I ask them if they're born again. And they get mad at me because I ask them if they're born again. I said, no, you have me perplexed. Are you born again? I don't mean did you pray a prayer to go to heaven. Do you have new life in you? Are you born again? Because how can you sit here in front of me and do this in front of me, knowing I'm a pastor, represent the Lord, and you came to me for godly counsel, I cannot possibly help you until your heart repents, because you're busy being right, making them wrong, and I can't possibly counsel you. You're living right now in this room like you're not born again, like you do not know Him. Oh, you've confessed Him, but He's surely not Lord. And I can look up your tithe record. But where do you have the ability to disgrace them, belittle them, and talk down on them in this room? And I'm supposed to help? No, we need to repent and pray, and we'll go from there and see how things go. I've had spouses act that way to where I'd ask the other spouse to leave the room, please. And then I'll look at the spouse I asked to stay and say, look, you don't know me and I don't control you, and you can get up and walk out if you want to, but I'm being real and I'm very concerned for your life right now. And if you have heart and courage, I would say stay here and bear it and listen to what I have to say for a minute. And I've never really had anybody get up and walk out on me. I've had a lot of people break down and cry because I am going to bring the sharpest sword.
There you go.
Because you're going to sit there and show me that you have no reverence for the Lord, that you're so caught up with yourself and putting demands on other people that you're not manifesting Christ in the least bit, but you're expecting eternal life through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you won't give an ounce of life in yours. And I'm going to call you on that thing. Listen, my Bible says, not me, my Bible says, if you hate your brother, you're in darkness until now. Matthew 18 says, you evil and wicked servant. Language. You evil and wicked servant. I forgave you of everything you owed me. Should you not forgive your brother what he owed you? Would that person end up bound, tormented, outer darkness? I don't think it's talking about hell. I think it's the state of the soul and the life living separate from the body of Christ. Unforgiveness is a perilous, treacherous, terrible place. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We always use that for the power of God. No cancer in heaven, no cancer on the earth. Right? That's what we always say. And I get it. It's not wrong. But isn't it amazing? We always use that for the power of God, but not the heart of God. Your will be as it is. No animosity in heaven. No pride. No backbiting. No mocking. No judgment. No pride. Your will be, what's he saying? I want some people that are willing to lay it all down and come unto me and deny, Matthew 16, deny themselves. I'm not pray a prayer to go to heaven. Come on. Deny you. So come on, we were sold that our whole lives. That's all we ever heard. If you die tonight and don't know where you're going, raise your hand. If you die tonight and don't know where you're going, raise your hand. If you die tonight, you show me that altar call in the Bible. We make the whole goal going to heaven. I don't even have to be a believer to raise my hand. I'll raise my hand in case the preacher might be right. Because if hell's real, I don't want to go there. Pray for me, man. We got one in the back. Had 12 come to the Lord. No, preach them the gospel. We don't even talk about water baptism at large. Why? Because that's representing the death, burial, and resurrection. You die in the likeness of His death and you raise in the newness of life. Now it's just get to heaven, get to heaven. Throw away the water baptism. Forget the transformation and change. Let's just get to heaven. Get some blessings. Get a full vat and barn while you're at it. Throw your bread in the water and wait for the loaf. Come floating back. Come on, that's the stuff we say. I read my Bible, I don't see that. I see walk in a manner worthy of Him. I see love not your own life unto death. I see you've been bought with a price and you're not your own. I see come out from among them and be ye separate, and He'll be a God unto you, and you shall be His people. That's what I see in my Bible. Don't be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I read that book. It's in there.
Come on.
Come on. I'm not not just shouting at you. I'm giving you scripture after scripture after scripture. Don't you get tricked into a present day gospel that serves you without changing you. Don't you just listen to sermons that benefit you. Don't you just read a promise book based on your biggest need. Because your biggest need is becoming love. Because if you don't have love, it's Bible. And love doesn't seek its own, friends. It's amazing the animosity we have in our own homes. Leadership, serving, ministry, letting all the stuff we do for Him take the place of being like Him. Letting all the things we do for Him take the place of knowing Him. Jesus said, I came to give life, eternal life, to all that the Father's given me. And this is eternal life, that you might know Him. He didn't say that your book name gets put in a book called life. He said that you might know Him. Whew. Those that know Him, great exploits. Are you with me?
Yes.
Come on, this stuff makes me happy. Why? Because it's freedom. But you're not free until you're free from you. You're your biggest problem. If you're living for you, you're not made for you. You're not a Christian for you. If you're, listen, this is to help you, not to slam you. If you're a Christian for you, you change that now, because that's not scriptural. You can't be a Christian for your benefit. That's why you're struggling. That's why you're up and down. That's why you're coming and going. That's why you're not steady and steadfast. How can God be a rock and steadfast and no turning and no shifting of shadow and all these terms of consistency for God? Unwavering, unmovable, unshakable. How can He be a... Because He's love. You're not offending Him. You're not breaking His heart. He loves you. Our parents tried to do us well. Well, you just made God angry. No! No! He's not excited about what you're doing because He knows you're so much more. But He ain't angry like ready to smote you. Well, God probably is teaching you a lesson. Well, see, God did that. You shouldn't have been on that road. That's why your legs broke. We've done that to our children because we didn't know Him. And then generations and generations, and it just becomes the language. But it ain't what Jesus is speaking. And it ain't what I see in Scripture. Whew. He loved you. Yeah, but He chastises. Yeah, that word means instruction. He gives me instruction. Doesn't mean He's beating me till I'm bloody. He's not putting me in a head-on car accident saying, I hope you're listening now. What a weird view we have of God. See, when you have that weird of a view, you can't really know Him for who He is, so you're not drawn and attracted to Him. That's why people try to serve Him from a distance. The concubines, they serve Him, but they aren't in the bedroom much. So they live for an encounter. They live for a moment. They go up when they see somebody anointed. Ooh, and I wonder if God will tell. Oh. Oh. Now that's your concubine sign. Just, wow, I guess He still loves me. I guess we're still okay. That's a concubine. Yeah. It's a concubine when you do that for reaffirmation, when you do that to be sure. You ought to already know because Christ was crucified. Faith says He loves me because Christ was crucified. Faith says He can't not love me because Christ was crucified. And better yet, He was raised from the dead and now I'm justified. Woohoo!
Yay. You get it?
Just as if I never sinned. So God puts that identity on me. I'm not proud and high-minded to receive it. I'm called a believer. Just as if I've never sinned. And then people want to all day argue about tendencies to sin. Well, what are you saying? You never sin. And da-da-da. Bible talks all the time about living with a free conscience from sin. Reckon yourself dead to sin. He bore your sin and my sin in His body on a tree, that we, having died to sin. Right. Hebrews 10, if the first covenant was enough and killing all them animals was sufficient at the atonement year after year after year, if it was good enough, the The people would have known, the worshipers would have no longer had a consciousness of sins. Meaning the true, genuine sacrifice is designed to take away the consciousness of sins. He says it in down in the chapter. He says what the first one couldn't do, the second one did. So the worshipers, once perfected, once complete, set apart, would have had no more. So we know that that first covenant, killing all them animals, wasn't the answer, because sin remained conscious in their lives. Today, if you preach that, most Christians attack that with their own life and experience and say you're preaching heresy, and everybody's sinning all the time. Probably sinning while we're breathing, brother. We just don't know it. Oh, I've been hit with that so many times. They're just, it's going to sound arrogant. You got cameras or something running? They're wrong.
Come on.
They're just wrong. Because what they're saying isn't producing righteousness. It's producing contention, and it's not manifesting Christ. And it's keeping sin dominant in people's lives. So then when they continue to live a certain way, their alibi is, hey, we're not perfect. We're not talking about perfect, we're talking about pure, and how far can pure take you? Why don't we run the gauntlet and let's see where grace will take us if we're willing to go? How far will grace take me if I'm willing? So now I'm willing and I start going there, and then you want to call, blow a flag and a whistle on me and say, well, you're going too far? If I'm following Jesus, I ain't going too far. Matthew 16, he said, if you're going to come after me, there's something I need you to do. Now, I'm not challenging you with this. I'm saying this general. I just wonder how many Christians understood this when they got saved. If you want to come after me, there's something you need to deny yourself. I know countless people that got saved for themselves. For a blessing, a restored marriage, because they got laid off, because they were in debt, because life was hell on the earth, and I guess I ought to start reading my Bible and maybe go to church. And they're hoping God changes their circumstances. He wants to change you. And sometimes you're mad because your circumstances won't change. It's because it ain't the goal. The goal ain't your circumstances going away. Did he put out the fire for Shadrach and Meshach? He just left it burn. To put out the fire would make it about the fire. Just let it burn. He happens to be Lord over the fire, and the fire wasn't the issue. It's who you're going to bow to, who you're going to worship, who you're going to identify with. The fire was designed to personally destroy them, but they love not their own lives unto death, and that's how they overcome. We say it's through the blood and the word. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Pastor, you get up on a Sunday morning, how do we overcome? Blood of the Lamb, word of our testimony. Yeah! And ain't nobody saying, and love not your own life unto death. So why are you so afraid to die? Why are you crying because of your diagnosis and turning God's promise and faithfulness into principles, hoping it works because you're scared? Why is death our motivation? I can show you Hebrews 2. He's the captain of our salvation. And he has freed us from the fear of the bondage of death, who we've been held captive by our whole lifetime. Well, I've been saved 27 years and I've watched countless Christians fear death, fear death, fear death. And the only reason they're praying is because they're afraid they're going to die or afraid their loved one's going to die. And sentiment is driving us, not faith. Emotional preference is driving us, not faith. Human emotions driving us and not faith. And that's why we see so many things, so many things, so many things. So now we got to rewrite books and theology because maybe God doesn't always heal. Maybe he didn't mean what he said. You know, this is all his timing. And hey, if he wanted you healed in the first place, he'd have just healed you so we don't even have to pray. And maybe blah, 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 blah. Now we're so confused because we've suffered so much loss and we've tried and we haven't. So we got to come up with something to explain our troubled heart, but it's at the cost of truth, which makes us free. And now we have a bigger problem. It's called wrong believing. My brother just fell over. My mama died of sickness. What does that mean? It just means it's time to grow up into him in all things to the full measure of the stature of Christ. Just because a man prayed doesn't mean he had faith. Just because 1,000 people pray doesn't mean they have faith. Well, brother, you can't tell me somebody didn't at least have a mustard seed. So you're saying God's a liar. Pray, believe, receive all things. What do you say in Matthew 17? If you have faith. Who?
You.
You. What's your name?
Adam.
That's good. Adam. Okay, Adam. So Adam just lost a friend. He was praying and praying and praying, but his friend, he died. Man, he was praying. He was sincere, and he was sure he had a revelation. His friend died. He's sitting on his bed, and he's crying. He's not mad at God. He just wants to know and understand, and he's calling on the Lord. Please help my heart, God. I'm not mad at you. I love you. You saved my life. You saved my friend's life. I just want to know why I'm not seeing what I'm believing for when I'm praying. And all of a sudden, Jesus just appears in his bedroom. And he says, Adam, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move. And the mountain will move. And nothing shall be impossible for you. And then he says, however, this kind won't come out except by prayer and fasting. What's he talking about? Right before that, the disciples said, why couldn't we heal the epileptic boy? He said, because of your unbelief. But you have to go back even further, because when the man said, I brought him to your disciples and they could not heal him, he said, you faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I bear with you? Be with you, bear with you. Perverse means twisted. He's saying, you twisted-minded, corrupted thinking people. You're looking with your eyes. You're thinking with your mind. You're not seeing what I'm seeing. And you seem like you're saying the right things, but they're coming from the wrong places, and there's a twist. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? What's he saying? I've been telling you I'm not going to be here much longer. I'm about being turned over to the Romans in the hands of sinful men. They're going to crucify me, and I'm going to go be with the Father. I'm going to pass you, Adam, the baton of the New Covenant, New Testament church, and you got to get this thing. So bring the boy to me. He heals him instantly. The disciples said, why couldn't we do it, Lord? He said, because of your unbelief. He wasn't being rude like spirit-filled circles everywhere. You just got to get more faith. If you had more faith, you just need faith. No, he's talking about the twisted way we tend. Okay, the boy's having violent seizures. Let's be honest. Did you ever pray for something with a visual? The hands like this, and you pray your best kingdom prayer, all your supernatural school training, and you speak it, and the hand's still sitting there looking at you. Your mind starts to spin. Next thing you know, even the first prayer, you're putting all your confidence in your words, your ability to pray, how you sound, trying to pray anointed, powerful. And all of a sudden, it's about our prayer and not his finished work. It's just perverse generation. But we're so quick to know it all that we'll challenge God's word and rewrite theology before we'll grow up into him in all things. We'll get offended and get mad. And we'll try to protect our own hearts at the cost of our own hearts. When they're praying for that boy, they're walking around with Jesus. What does he want? That I might see. See, get up and walk. Just stretch forth your hand. That's the life of Jesus. Hey, stop your crying. She's not dead. She's only sleeping. Hey, get out of the room. We don't even need any mourners here. Why are you going to have a funeral when she's just sleeping? Get up, girl. That's the life of Jesus. They'll just follow him around. Read your Bible. He said, if everything was written, the world wouldn't contain the books if it was written one by one. I don't even know what that means. They're praying. They went out two by two, seven chapters before. Two by two, they went out and did some things. They had some success. You can't find Jesus. There's them boys that went two by two. They got some history. Let's take him to them. I don't think they were mealing. I don't think they were like, no, we should probably wait for Jesus. No, he already anointed. He already gave him authority. He already sent him out. I bet they were like, yeah. And they prayed, and he's seasoned. And they prayed, and he's seasoned. What happens to Christians when that happens? Mind spins, pray a little harder. Now we're waving another color flag. Somebody steps up and says, let me try. And they quote a prophecy that stirred them in a bedroom 3 months ago. No, I'm telling you. Now we're in works, and we're trying. Why? Because he's seasoned, and we're weighing all our faith based on results. And we get pulled out of, and it's called unbelief. Put yourself in them disciples' shoes. He's seasoned, they're praying. Why is he still seasoned? Why aren't he healed yet? If Jesus was here, he'd be healed by now. Wonder what we're doing wrong. You can't tell me that wasn't going through his mind. their minds, or he wouldn't have said, "You corrupt and perverse generation." He was addressing their thought life. And he's saying to Adam, "Listen, Adam, it's just because of your unbelief. There's some things going on." I was praying for a friend one time, and I was doing the same thing, crying. And Jesus came and slipped up on me and ministered to my heart so beautifully. He said, "Dan, all your aggression, all your prayers, all those trips over there," he said, "you've seen so-and-so die, and you've seen so-and-so die. And deep in your heart, you said, 'No, not him. Here we go again, not him.'" And he said, "The death was motivating all your momentum, all your emotion, all that rah-rah was because of the history of death, not life." Now, you better be humble enough to hear God and let him father you like that. Or you can rewrite theology and start a camp that's just mad at everybody that's believing for healing. Or God doesn't heal today. That's way worse yet. So that makes everybody else a liar that testifies of healing. That's everybody on YouTube that's crying saying they were healed. They're all lying. Come on, making everybody a liar or of the devil is sad company. That's called Pharisees and Sadducees, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That is sad company. So he says, "Adam, listen, it's just what you're failing to see. It's your unbelief." Really, I believe this is what he's saying to Adam. Because he just healed the boy, right? It's just what's going on in your heart, and what you're failing to see. But if you see what I see, you'll do what I do. And Adam, nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind of corrupted thinking and this kind of stuff will never come out of your life unless you continue in fasting and prayer and seeking the Lord.
You get it?
Show me a limit to this, and nothing will be impossible for you. Look, you can argue with me, write any article you want. You can defame me, blast me. You can do whatever you want. When he says nothing will be impossible to me, he's talking to me. And I'm going for it. And you can criticize me for it. You can tell the world all that I'm this and that and the other. But I'll tell you what, when you stand before the Lord, I hope you got some resume. I hope you got some fruit. I hope you have somebody that was sitting beside you on the plane that's weeping and crying and doesn't have the pain anymore, and you told them about the pain. They didn't tell you. I've seen that so many times, I wouldn't have time to tell it because I'm set to live this way. So now when I say that, I'm a liar or of the devil, or I'm looking for attention. No, it's called empowering the body of Christ to live the same way. Yeah? Yes. The number one reason Christians don't pray for the sick in their own personal life is because they're afraid nothing will happen. Mm-hmm. Because they're afraid nothing will happen, they don't pray for anybody. So guess what they always have? The exact thing they're afraid of. Amen. Nothing. But they have a good theological debate and an argument of why and how and who. Listen, these signs shall follow those that... He's not talking about the apostles. He's talking about those who believe through the apostles. It's so clear. Yes. Go into the nations, make believers of all the nations, and these signs are going to follow those that believe. They're going to cast out devils. That's a hot topic. They're going to speak with new tongues. Woo! That's a heavy hitter right there, buddy. All the signs of a believer are up for debate in the Christian church. And we've got countless articles, and and we're on a witch hunt constantly. Do you see why they crucified Jesus? Men, truth, stood in front of them for 3 years. Not preaching the truth, yes, preaching the truth, but not just preaching the truth, he was the truth. And he stands in front of them, and he is the truth, and they don't know him. And they kill him for what he says, and they're sure they're right. That's scary. That you can get so blind that you can crucify Jesus and be sure you're right. Jesus. Not somebody preaching Jesus. Jesus. And we'd be so proud today that we think we wouldn't have done that. But we ought to be humble and say, "God, would you help me to hear and understand and perceive? And if the way I'm thinking isn't producing life and giving hope and restoring life and bringing redemption and... whew, why do I not need a theology to bear witness that he won't and he doesn't? What am I going to go ye therefore and preach? Go preach the kingdom of God's hand and heal the sick? Now we argue whether he's a healer or not. Go preach saying the kingdom of God is here. Heal the sick. Well, he was talking to the disciples, Dan. That was their commission. No, in Matthew 28, he said, you go teach them to observe everything I taught you. So when he's talking to Peter, James, and John, he's talking to me. In Luke, he sent out the 12, and he sent out 70 more. Woo! There was a guy doing the stuff, and he wasn't even running with them. He said, you guys don't even know what spirit you're of. What do you want to mean? What do you mean? So we call down fire on him, take him out. What do you... Ain't nobody doing a good thing in my name, and soon after is against me? Leave the man alone. It's all here. You okay? Are you asking me that? Are you okay? I'm very okay. Wow, it's 9:10. Is that late for you guys? Come on now. I had two zealots. Two zealots. I had two zealots. Everybody said, oh my goodness, don't encourage me. Already scares me. So what have we even accomplished tonight? We're on the earth to follow Him. We're on the earth to become love. We're on the earth to shine, to be true Christians. That means little Christ-like ones. Please don't be on the earth just to be benefited. Don't get caught up in your own personal trials, circumstances, and let them decide your disposition, your attitude, or your outlook. You say, yeah, but I just lost. Yeah, but you lost your life when you got saved. So I'm not saying physical loss isn't real, but I don't have the right to let go of anything when my brother dies. When my mama dies, it's not my life. I have an understanding now. That helps my emotions. That wraps faith around a bigger picture called everlasting life. All of a sudden I realize we didn't lose unless I take my eyes off the big picture. And then now I'm missing them. Now I'm hurt. Why'd you let them die, God? You're big enough. Why couldn't you protect them? And the next thing you know, I think long enough and hard enough and from enough angles that maybe even God's somehow responsible. And when your heart starts believing that a little bit, don't tell me you're having an intimate relationship with Him and giving birth to His children. Are you with me?
Yes. Please say that again.
You're so awesome. It's true. I've just seen so many of us. Analytical. People say, well, I'm just a very analytical person. Well, okay, you should have stopped that like yesterday. It's not a gift. No. God did not give you the gift to think long enough and hard enough to talk yourself out of Him. You say, yeah, but I'm just analytical. I'm just a processor, brother. Okay, you should have never picked that up. Let me show you where it started. God says, here's the earth, subdue it, tend to keep it, subdue it, and of everything you can eat, just don't eat that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's all good. You guys are blessed. Check you out in the morning. We'll walk in the cool of the day. See you, bud. Right? Is that the story? Snake slithers in. They only know one voice. They got one voice in their life. They got one voice in their life. And now this other voice. Hey, did God really say? Here, analytical, watch. Did God really say? You know, he knows that when, yeah, well. Didn't say she was willful. Didn't say she was rebellious. Said she was deceived. So this voice just come from enough angles. To put a twist on what God really said and the way it really was and get her to buy in. To a lie. Now Adam had a different dilemma. He heeded the voice of his wife instead of God. What's that tell you? That tells you that she took on the language of the deceiver and told Adam what she believed that he said. What she believed, she imparted that to him, and he heeded her voice instead of God, which was really the voice of the serpent. So now we got this pollution and perversion going on, each seed after its own kind. God makes man for his image to be fruitful and multiply till the whole earth is filled with his glory. What is man that thou art mindful of him, that you'd visit him, that you'd give him dominion over the works of your hands? What is up with this man that you'd make him your crowning creation and glory? That's the psalmist. And then Satan comes and says, hey, I'll just put a shift on this. I'll get her to follow me. I'll get him to follow her. And I'll just make it all after my image. Because he said, isn't that what got him thrown out of heaven? I'll be a God unto them. I'll sit in the highest place. And I'll rule from the highest place. That's the soul of a man. He's going to rule from your soul. He's going to get you to fear. He's going to get you to worry. He's going to get you to live in anxiety. He's going to get you so angry and so hard-hearted and so bitter that you can go to church all you want, but you're manifesting him. You can sing loud. You can sing three times. You can wave two banners, but you're manifesting him. He could care less if you go to church. He cares when you look like Christ. He could care less if you serve in a ministry. He could care less if you go on a mission trip. In fact, sometimes I think he's behind it, inspiring it, because it teaches religion and men get their identity from what they do instead of who they've become. Amen. And I just don't think he's threatened by this tonight. I don't think he's bothered by this at all. He's bothered when you start walking out what you heard. But he comes immediately, this kingdom of God, if a man sows. Kingdom of God is if a man scatters seed. So all night, if you see me in the spirit, all night, my bags, I'm just throwing seed. But he comes immediately for the word's sake. And then we take it personal and think he's coming for our sake. And he just wants the kingdom from keeping it from never getting formed in you. Who's ever heard somebody say, well, as soon as I get encouraged, I heard a word, then all hell breaks loose. As soon as I step out, try, then all of a sudden, bang, bang, bang. Who's ever heard that kind of language? Yeah. Scripture. Don't be unaware of his devices and give him no place. Don't buy into it. Don't be like, okay, I'm going to draw back now. Because all hell breaks loose. Every time I step out, I'll just stay in neutral. He owns neutral, too. He does. You can't sit on the fence. He owns the fence. There is no fence. It's either hot or cold. It's either light or dark. It's either angels or devils. There's nothing in the middle. There's no middle ground. There's no gray. It's black or white. There's no gray. Angels or devils. There's no kind of so-so. Kind of for God, kind of not. Lukewarm. Right out of the mouth. Why? Because Satan owns the fence. You jump in the fence and think you're in neutral. Hey, I didn't pick either side. Well, the fence belongs to him. So yeah, you picked his. You're either for me, so your attitude either benefits what I'm doing or works directly against it, even if you're a leader in a church. You either gather or you scatter. Either all in and surrendered, or something about your heart and your attitude and your motive and your will is putting pressure on everything I'm wanting to do. I'm not talking to people that don't love God the way they understand God, but it's these things, these little foxes, and just keeps destroying the fruit of the vine. And all of a sudden we're doing church, but we're not being her, so we're not shining a whole lot of light, and people aren't impressed with our lives, so they really don't get a good look at God. Are you all with me? Yes. Come on, this isn't harsh. It's just convicting. Good. Conviction means to shine light upon. Whoa, duh, what? Come on, it's not like, boo-hoo, that's how the article, oh, I got a long way to go. I don't even know if I'm saved. That's not what tonight's for. What do you mean I got a long way to go? No, you got somewhere to go. A light was shown. There was a path painted. You're not in the dark. You're not in a maze. You got light on the trail. You ought to be excited. Man, I got answers. Wow, I see, man, that's exposed. Whoa, that was, whoa, yeah, whoa. Wonder if repentance is that simple. Duh, what? Yeah. Instead of, wonder if repentance is just, duh. Wow, yeah. Come on, if we love not our own lives unto death, why are we even offended? 1 John says, if you love your brother, you have no reason or cause to be offended in him. 1 John 4:17 says, love is perfected in this, that we all have boldness in the day of judgment. Read your Bible. That's not a bold day. It's a day of dread, fear, terror. The terror of the day of the Lord. Men are going to scream out, cry, want the trees and rocks to fall on them and consume them, lest they face the glory of His presence. It's a day of doom and darkness, the day of the Lord. But you, Kevin, you have boldness. Now, why would you come off and have boldness when everybody else, day of gloom? Because as He is, so are you in this world.
It's called Christian. And they did not pray a prayer to go to heaven and secure their eternity.
They gave back what was never theirs in the first place, their life, so He could come in and possess it and they could live their life in Christ.
That's called Christian. Then you go find a water baptismal place and you die in the likeness of His death. And the death He died to sin once for all. And you die in the likeness of that death. And even as He was raised by the glory of the Father, so you shall be raised in the newness of life.
That's the gospel. We've turned that into street corner prayers. We've turned that into altar calls. Every eye closed, just raise your hand. No mention, nobody even. Book of Acts, they believed and got water baptized because water baptism was in the message, because the message is all about transformation. The message was never about eternal security. The message was about coming out of the dark into the light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. You with me?
Yes.
Water baptism. Oh, makes you feel like I just want to go get baptized. Maybe not, because the ones we do, I don't know how you do it. We hold you under till every bubble stops. No, we're going for it. We're in faith. 40 seconds after the last bubble, you usually get a tremor. And if you wait 40 seconds after the last tremor, you got them. And then you better have faith, because you're bringing them up. And new life. And if they don't, you know where they went. Just in the nick of time. So that's how I suggest you do your baptisms. Because see, we pray a prayer for a blessing and you're supposed to die. You can't even live until you die. It's not Jesus Incorporated. You don't bring Him into your life. He becomes your life. You put on Christ. So that scripture in Colossians 3, I'm finally ending with. I had that big, long detour. I had an hour and a half detour. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man, who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Nobody ever preached the gospel to me that way. Nobody ever told me it was possible to put on Christ. They told me that I'm a sinner, I'm forgiven, but I'm going to keep sinning, and I'll keep being forgiven because He's good and He loves me. And make sure you go to church, and you ought to give, and make sure you're in church when He comes back. And you're little, and they tell you that, and you're like, and it's just all about well-being, self-focus, scared, nothing to change me. Nobody telling me, look, there's this little thing in you, self-centered. You talk to a bunch of young people on the street corner. You just pull them aside and you start talking to them about church background. Man, we ain't been to church. We don't know church. I grew up in church. I don't want to do it. But do you even, it's just this whole heaven and hell thing. No, let me talk to you about something. Talk about selfishness with a group of young people. You talk about how nobody had to teach them how to be angry. It came by instinct. They were angry before they could speak a language. Because they were born by instinct into the fall of man, self-centered. They were created to love, but they were born self-centered because they were born into Adam, and you must be born again. See, every one of us were born into need, had no identity because we were lost because we were separated from Jesus. So we were lost, every one of us. When you were born, you had no identity. You were driven by need. You needed support, stability, love, appreciation, affection. You needed a support system. You needed balance. Half of us didn't have half of that. And at a very young age, you were nothing more than an expression of however you responded, however it unfolded. And that became your story. And 40 years later, you're still telling it and a product of it and justified because you don't know what I've been through. And the whole time, here's Jesus saying, do you know what I've been through? Have you found new life through Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not what you've been through. Maybe you're what I've been through. How about coming out of the darkness into the light and put on Christ? You say, yeah, but I was touched strong when I was little. Yeah, but my dad was never there for me. See, what does any of that have to do with anything? I was touched right when I was 33. And I was introduced to my true father. And I realized my own father had no capacity to love the way I needed him to. And he was bankrupt and had deficit. And I'm going to be a product of that. And I'm going to say, I mustn't be value. If my own dad couldn't love me, I mustn't have value. He couldn't love me because he doesn't have love, because he doesn't have the Spirit of God in him, because he has his own vacuum. Why am I going to draw my identity from all this stuff? And all of a sudden, I have compassion on my dad. Now I'm not mad at my dad. All of a sudden, my dad doesn't owe me a thing. Why? Because call no man on earth, Matthew 23:9, your father, because you have one father and he's in heaven. So don't identify and regulate and limit your life through natural life, because you have one father. He's in heaven. The word father means come forth from. You came forth from one with a reason. Don't let this decide that reason. Let him, through Christ, make it clear. All I'm talking to you is born again. We're born into Adam, get born again. We're born into the fall of man and self-centered. Here's the bottom line, easiest way I know how to say it. God created us to love, and we were born into needing it. And we're on the earth to love, and we're all needing it. And you can live your whole life and never get that. And your heart gets so hard, hurt, we're putting up superficial walls, protecting and guarding ourselves because we've been hurt so much. The whole time, you're just a product of your experience. And life is your great potter. And whatever you look like is what you've been through and how you're responding. So some people are introverted and broken. Some people are hard and a fighter. But none of that's the real you. Ain't that something? It's all a lie. And your life has its signature at the bottom of your portrait. In your circumstances, and that's why you talk about it, because it's your justification. And all we're here is Jesus saying, why don't you give me one chance to love you and identify you and form you and fashion you? Would you come out of darkness and into the light? Yeah, but I just feel so rejected. Yeah, but you're accepted in me. Come. But I just feel like I'm not worthy. I've made you worthy. Come. But I just don't belong. You belong. I want you. Love you. Let me show you who you are. I have a story like you do. Yours might be worse. That's the dilemma. We could start over here and go the whole way around the room and find out in this room tonight who's been through the most hell. And then we're going to sing It's All About Heaven. No. Here's the paradox. All we could do is find out who went through the most hell, but then none of us are empowered to minister to them because we ain't been in their shoes. So now at best we feel sorry for them, but we can't help them because we can't relate because their story is even worse than ours. Do you see that it has nothing to do with nothing? What I've been through has nothing to do with nothing. That's all a strategy designed to get me so hurt, so hard, so deceived that when good news comes, there ain't nothing good about it because I got issues. Are you all with me? Where do you go from here? Any suggestions? You're a pastor. It's one of these. I think that was mine.
That was mine.
Then you drank mine. I feel the same about you. Listen, I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what's going on in your life, your heart. I'm not having an altar call. I don't talk in riddles. I didn't talk in parables. I don't think you could sit here tonight and not hear what I said if you were listening. There's not one thing I said tonight that you can't begin to pursue in faith and prayer and yield yourself to in prayer if you want to. There's not one thing I preach that you can't go after. No matter what's going on around you and in the people around you. There was a season in my life, both my children were running wild, and there was a season in my life where my own wife wouldn't even come to church and was believing lies. And I felt like I had no ability to even minister to her. But I could love her. And I could see that my kids were more than their decisions. And I could not let where they were shake me. So now I'm just a husband hurting and a dad in turmoil. No, Christ is inside of me. And I can't afford to let where my wife is and isn't, my kids, decide who Christ is in me. He's in me for a reason. Not for everything to go the way I'm hoping, so that no matter how everything's going, I can look like Him. That's why I'm so passionate. My wife was in that thing for 8 years. I was a full-time pastor. At the end, she wouldn't even come to church because she believed people just said hi to her because she was with me. They liked me, so they had to acknowledge her. It was just a weird lie that became a stronghold, and it just was weird. And it hurt her so bad. You say 8 years is a long time, brother. 8 years doesn't change truth. And selflessness doesn't understand time. God waited a lot longer than 8 years for a lot of us. Love takes no account of a suffer wrong. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Love covers a multitude of sin unless it exceeds 2 years, unless it exceeds 8 weeks, unless it... Are you hearing me? You see the passion in me and the boldness of my speech? Because I was in my shoes for 8 years. And so was he. And it wasn't a hurting, broken man that needed prayer. And if she don't change soon, I don't know what I'm going to do. I got enough on my plate already. Last thing I need is a wife. Or worse yet, you know, maybe we made a mistake and we got married. And you know, God can't expect me. And I know he doesn't expect me. And sometimes things just don't work out. And all of a sudden, but you see, in all that, your heart takes a hit. And in all that, you don't come out of it well. Ain't nobody going to convince me that in those decisions, you're good. But I'll tell you what, in selfless, I'm good. In love, I'm good. When I wake up and she don't owe me a thing, she ain't going to frustrate me. She ain't going to break my heart. And 8 years ain't going to change a thing. Love never fails. And now I have compassion for her. See, the Spirit of God lives in me. Jesus lives in me. I'm on the earth for a reason. And the last thing I need to be in that scenario is another hurting husband that needs prayer. She needs Jesus, and he's in me. Yeah. You get it? That's what's wrong with me. She needs Jesus, and he's in me. And I don't know how to take that personal because I took him personal. So I'm not changing my mind because he didn't change his mind on me. And when I ran for 13 years AWOL, he did not write me off. He came right into my life and redeemed me. And love me as if I never sinned. And you tell me I can't do the same if he said, follow me? Nobody owes you a thing. You release people. And you let God fill you with his love and his spirit. His precious anointing and most of all, his wisdom and his nature. It takes two to tango. It takes one to pursue peace. And blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be called the sons of God. If we're not careful in today's church, we just have a lot of language. So now sonship is a good, cool confession. No, it's a good, cool expression. Sonship is a life you live, not a decree you make. When you pursue peace, you reveal sonship. He says you can love those who love you. What credit is that? The pagans do as much. Yeah? He says it's when you love your enemies, etc., etc. Why would I do that? So you shall be sons of your Father in heaven. Who causes the rain and the sun to shine upon the righteous and the unrighteous. Go ahead and be like him. How much scripture is saying, go ahead and be like him. Don't you tell yourself you can't by the power of Holy Spirit, you can. If you're willing. You don't endure your marriage. You grow up in Jesus and love your spouse right where they're at. Well, I ain't going to be a doormat. Jesus wasn't a doormat. Well, ain't nobody going to take advantage of me. Well, then I guess you took advantage of God every time you didn't do what you should have done. What? Come on. If God can't speak that language, why can you? Come on. He's calling your heart out tonight. It's their fault. That sounds good. I feel like I'm preaching better. It just feels good. It's like surgery music. Heart out on the table. You just laying there. You don't even know your heart's out. We're putting it in. We're just about put it in. You know what you're doing right now? See, that's anesthesia. That's Holy Ghost anesthesia. Because tonight was intense. And you can't tell me you couldn't hear what was crying out. Please don't just leave a session like this and just stay in the same attitude if it's not producing Christ. Don't stay in animosity in your home. Don't wait for somebody to pay up what they owe. Man, if God made you pay up what you owe, you'd be like that servant in Matthew 18 and you'd be about to be sold and you'd have to ask for mercy. So I guess we probably ought to be merciful since we've received it. Are you all with me?
Yes.
So I'm cheering you on tonight and I'm saying, let's live Christ. You say, man, what are you going to preach tomorrow? It's going to be good, I'm sure. We'll title it when it's over, buddy. I stood up here tonight. I had no clue where I was going other than I have a general burning in my heart, but it came out of me. First night, Friday, I don't know. I'd call it privilege. I don't know when I had a Friday this intense and straight out of the gate. I felt like we were like, I felt like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the spirit. Probably because you can handle it. Because there's a foundation here and you come to out of the mouths of two every word. See, we think sometimes when somebody preaching this, it's because there's a lot wrong. Wonder if you're ready to say yes. I wonder if God's just expanding your yes, deepening your yes. I wonder if God's about to break out in this house and just form some people in love. I wonder if he's about ready to teach people that they never have to live in discouragement again, offense and frustration. Be self-conscious and actually value their life without it being vanity. And actually look in the mirror and see what God sees through his son and love what they behold. And then look from the mirror into their fellow brothers and actually see the same thing. Ain't that something? All of a sudden I'm not trying to like you. You get it? You see how powerful it is? Let me ask you a question before we close. Do you believe it's possible to live selfless? Because if you say no to that in your heart and you just didn't answer no, because obviously you're probably not going to say no. Because I just saw you and called you out. No, I wouldn't. You read your Bible is all I'd have to say to you. It's actually impossible to be a scriptural Christian and stay self-centered. There's no such thing. Because the first thing you do is learn what it means to deny yourself. Make it all about him and his great name. And that's not just hype preaching and songs we sing that sound spiritual. No, you live for his great name. Ezekiel said, you know, God's people went out among the nations. They dispersed in every nation they went. Everywhere they went, they profaned his name. Everywhere. And misrepresented who he was. The only reason he had a people is, the only reason he had a people, he started that through Abraham. But why did he do that? Because he wanted to raise up a people that the nations of the world would know him through them. What's he pointing to? Adam and Eve, made in his image. Be fruitful and multiply. We think, ooh, they somehow have it in them to know what to do to multiply. The whole context is the image. Yeah, they're going to come together. Yeah, they're going to have children. But the whole context is in his image. Each seed after his own kind.
Ain't that something?
So God wants to multiply himself and manifest himself and share himself with a family called us.
That's such a yay.
And that got lost. Jesus came to get it back. And I came tonight to tell you and use tons of scripture to confirm it. It's exactly why we're Christians. And I say this strong and narrow, Pastor. I'm very narrow with this. Nothing else is Christianity. It's our own version. If your eye's single, your whole body's flooded with light. If your eye's not single, then darkness can creep in. And if the light in you is perverted and it's actually darkness, then just how twisted is your view? Just how great is the darkness? Narrow is the, not a, the way. There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but its way always leads to death. But the way, narrow, confined. Few are those who find it. Is that scripture? Few are those who find it. Find it. Love not your own life unto death and overcome. Love your neighbor. Love people. He made them his children so the nations of the earth would know him through them. He said everywhere they went, they profaned his name. God said through Ezekiel, but I'm going to bring them all back. Bring them all together. I'll put a new heart in them. I'll put a new spirit in them. Take out that heart of stone. I'm going to put in a heart of pliable, moldable flesh. But I'm not going to do it for their sake. I'm going to do it for my great name. And then we preach a gospel that benefits us and maybe never challenges to transform us. Don't you buy in to that gospel. It's not the gospel. The gospel is new life through Jesus Christ. And I'm not preaching perfection. I'm preaching purity. You have to have that motive if you're going to grow up into that truth. So you're not running a risk of failing. You're actually entering into being privileged to become and grow up into Him in all things. Ephesians 4, watch, to the full measure of the stature of Christ. Is it possible? It's scriptural. Close your eyes. I'm closing. We usually pray for the sick on the first night, but we got to stay right here tonight. We'll probably pray for everybody tomorrow just because of time, because I want to teach and train and have time to do it a certain way. It'll be fun. So much fun. I'm having so much fun living Jesus, man. See, you'll never be free and even understand what it means until you're free from you. Because you'll still be self-conscious, self-centered, self-focused, low-esteemed. All the stuff that comes with self-centeredness. Violated, trespassed, hurt, broken, offended. I don't see life in any of those things on that list. You'll never know true freedom until you're free from you. We think freedom is the forgiveness of sin. Freedom is you being free from living for yourself because you were never made for that. So how about loving you and God and loving your neighbor that way? Will you close your eyes with me and not be distracted for a second, and we'll close. Father, we just ask for grace tonight that we might live this thing out acceptedly. You said everything's going to be shaken that can be shaken. In Hebrews, and we're going to ask that we would have grace, that we could just stand, that we could become, that we could live this life. I'm praying and believing there's a whole pile of want to in the room. I don't believe you sent me down here to correct, to spank, to rebuke, but to cheer on and to lift up and to raise up and set a standard. I really do feel that. I believe that in my heart, that you found a people that would want to. And the clearer they hear it, the clearer they want it. And I'm asking for that grace to walk this thing out and never look back and never let go. Lord God, I thank you for grace. I thank you we're not running a risk of failing. We're not leaving here set up to fail. We're leaving here set up to run. And I just pray, Lord God, that you continue to teach us and father us and show us how to never grow weary in well-doing. I ask blessing on this house, and I pray that these words become revelation and manifestation. I'm going to do one thing. I haven't done it for a while, but I feel it in my heart. I'm going to do it. I've done this before at the end of a service. It's very powerful if you'll follow along. If you're married here and you're sitting with your spouse and you haven't been living what you're hearing me preach. See, it wasn't time to elbow your spouse tonight, because then I was definitely talking to you. You don't hear a sermon for somebody else. You hear it for your own heart. And if you're sitting here with your spouse and you're saying, man, I'm not listening for my spouse at this point. I've heard for myself. And there's some things that I want to move forward in and I want to take serious and take to prayer. And there's some things I'm going to ask Holy Spirit to really help me with so I can truly love my spouse. If that's you and your spouse is sitting there, why don't you find their hand and just squeeze their hand. You don't have to look up. Don't make eye contact. You don't even have to do anything. Just squeeze their hand. And spouse, if they get your hand, don't pull it away. Let them take it, no matter what it's been like. I have this feeling that there's about four couples that it has not been well. Like, I mean, crisis not well. Like, borderline, don't know what to do not well. And I feel that in my heart. So don't pull your hand away. Be glad they grabbed your hand. And when they grab your hand, what they're saying is, hey, honey, I'm not listening for you, I'm listening for me. And I haven't loved well, and I haven't pursued Jesus well, and I've held you accountable, and I haven't held my own heart accountable. And I want you to know I'm listening to this man tonight for me. And would you forgive me, and would you give me a chance to grow and become love and love you? And if you would, spouse, just squeeze their hand back. Meaning you're saying the same thing. You're just going to call everything even and level ground right now. You're going to start afresh in the mercy and love of Almighty God. And I'm telling you, that's real. Grace will make that real. You squeeze their hand back. When you squeeze your hand back, what you're saying is, ditto, honey, I'm listening the same way. Please forgive me. And I pray peace in them homes, and I pray restoration in those marriages. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to walk them like children into adulthood in their marriage, God, that you would take them into the beautiful basics of loving one another and let that freshness remain and walk them into maturity, God, and teach them what love looks like together. I pray grace over every marriage and every home front. I pray animosity between parents and children to cease tonight because of this message, God. I just believe there's a whole lot of want to in the room. This is a little off track. I got to obey it. I'll just feel it out. I believe I'm hearing it. If you have is there anybody here? You have a terminal diagnosis. I know we're praying for the sick tomorrow, but you're here and you have some terminal. They said it's going to take your life. You have a terminal diagnosis. I keep hearing the word terminal. I felt like I got to pray for somebody or something. Is there anybody? You have a terminal situation. I don't know why I keep hearing that. That whatever you're doing, they can't help you, and you're going to kind of progress into a direction. Anybody? Is there anybody? 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 Nobody in childcare? Nobody? Man, just no. I felt like they were here, but they could be. If you're in live stream, yeah, that's possible. I felt like they were here. Don't be afraid to let us know who you are. We're not going to embarrass you. I just felt like I had to speak some life over you and pray for you. I don't do that very rarely, do I do it? I just kept feeling like I heard the word terminal in my heart. I heard it like three times, so I thought I'd address it and feel it out. Well, if you're on live stream and you have a terminal diagnosis, I'm letting you know I heard that. And don't give up. Keep your eyes on God. It doesn't mean he doesn't love you. The cross means he does love you. So I just pray right now, Father, and I just thank you that situation would turn around because you're good. It's the biggest thing I need to tell you, that the thing you're going through doesn't challenge God's love. God's love is settled through the cross. We're rooted and grounded in love, and faith works through love. Let's have a healthy perspective of God. So I just pray for that situation. So there's nobody here that has a situation that's progressing that they're saying it's going to cut your life short and it's like a terminal thing. I keep feeling like there's somebody in the room. Sorry. What? You think you do? Well, you... Oh, you do? Okay. Because it wouldn't leave me. And I just... I had to obey that. So I'm going to come over there and lay hands on you if you'll let me. All right? Yeah. It's just sincere. Back on. What's your name?
Tom.
Tom. I heard terminal three times over there and I was praying and I just let it skate by. I just said real light, real light. And then when I prayed online, I just did that out of sincere faith but I didn't feel like they were online. So that's why I waited. Did you see me wait? I said, man, I'm sorry. I feel like you're here. And I was just waiting and I thought something was going on. Somebody couldn't. And my brother raised it. He said, I didn't want to wear it. I didn't want to claim it. So I didn't want to raise my hand and I didn't want to accept it. The reason he raised his hand is because we're not accepting it. I heard it in my heart. And I love when I hear those kind of words, man. Yeah? God reveals things and he heals things. Amen? Amen. So stretch your hands to this brother and believe the finished work of Christ. Father, I just thank you right now for wholeness in his life. And he said, I didn't want to accept it. Well, that's good because it's not yours. Jesus bore that thing on the cross. And I just declare wholeness in your life. Wholeness, that this situation would end right now. Father, you put that word in my heart and you wouldn't let it leave, and that was good. And I just thank you for loving him persistently and getting me over here so we could believe together. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Amen. God, you're good. Ready to go love somebody? Yes. Have peace in your homes? Who's sick in their body and you don't think you'll be here tomorrow night? We'll do something real quick. I just feel like I pray for sick, but you're sick in your body, you don't think you'll be here tomorrow night. If you know you're coming tomorrow night, I'd like to teach and do it a certain way. But if you don't think you're coming, we'll show you some grace and we'll, because Jesus is a buffet. He's not like, so we can do this and God will move. It'll be sweet. And I won't take long. It'll take 3 minutes. If you think you need prayer for something and you know you're not going to be here tomorrow, that's great. That means you're all coming tomorrow. No, no. Come back tomorrow. Oh, you're not sure? Okay. And you need healing in your body? Okay. Okay. Would you do me a favor? Just spin around there and grab her hands. And just as you grab her hands, just in your heart, back, be whole, no more pain. You just say that, declare that over her. You speak to that thing. Just real simple and straight. Back, be whole, and no more pain. A total restoration from every effect of that surgery. Because you love her, Father. She's your girl. In Jesus' name, be whole. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What was the situation in your back? Is it limited? Is it hurt? Is it before we pray? What's the symptoms in your, what's going on in your body? Can you feel that? Can you tell that? Can you feel that right now? Can you tell that right now? What's that feel like? What's that do? Okay. You got pain right now. Okay. Yeah, especially the long-winded preachers. They get preaching. You got to... Oh, it's terrible. You feel pain right now the same? Here's what I need you to do. Honey, what's your name, sweetie? Okay, put your hand right on her forehead and just say, no more pain. Complete wholeness. Just say that. Complete wholeness. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Thank you, God. I don't usually get feeling and ooey and touchy and stuff, but I just feel like God's just loving on you and touching you right now. He is, isn't he? Good. Go right down through her back, right through her spine, Lord, because you love her. Yeah. Are you a friend? Put your hand right there. That's good. You're a good friend. You're not just a friend, you're a good friend. Shh. Oh my goodness, girl. You just got saved? Oh my goodness. Well, I just felt like God's love coming on you when they were praying, and I'm like, wow, like I think she's feeling that. That was cool. What's going on in your back? Don't make anything up. Tell me what you're feeling. Don't make anything up. I don't want you to exaggerate a little bit there. Okay, when you leave here, here's what I want you to do. Learn to have, and I know you're teaching good because you all told me a good thing. Baptized, Holy Ghost, they're on it. It's good.
When I came out of that water, I was like, I was just
okay, see, that's amazing. No, I get it. Here's what I'm going to tell you. She just prayed. We all believed. Here's faith's not a point in time. It's not a hit, miss, win, or lose. It's not a try me, see if you like me, 30-day money back guarantee, 60-day try me, see if you like me. Faith is I believe you. I believe you love me. I believe you restore me. I believe you're doing a work. Thank you for the people that are believing with me. So when you leave here tonight, communion, fellowship with God, not just praying for healing. Watch. Thank you for loving me. My goodness, you put new life in me. You changed me. God, this has all been amazing, and I believe you're doing amazing work in my back and my spine. There you go. Communion. Exactly what I'm teaching. Guys, I'm talking to everybody. Let's not just try to get a healing. Let's get to know him. Let's let faith work through love. Yeah? So you don't get prayed for and say, oh, well, it still hurts. Well, guess on that. Maybe next time. No. Pray, believe, receive all things. We're going to lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall... Don't turn that into a point in time. It's a relationship. It's beautiful. Oh, do you hear what she's saying? She's praying, taking communion, being taught. Bravo. And just continuing in communion, relationship with God, rather than wondering why I'm not being healed. What's wrong with me? Must be doing something wrong. Something's got to be blocking my healing. That's what Christians do. And then they get themselves a million miles from God. Their identity shattered. And then they're wearing what they're saying they need healed from. Do it all the time. People do it all the time. They don't realize they're doing it, but they do it all the time. You're not doing that. Thanks for being a good friend. When I said you're a friend, I actually heard the word good in my heart. You're not just a friend. You're a good friend. You all good? I'll turn it over because I'll get in trouble here. I don't ever know how to stop.
So just like me. Oh, can we just give the Lord? Just can we just tell him we love him? Just yeah, you can. I don't like to applaud the Lord, but just to let him know we appreciate and love and honor his presence. For tomorrow, I just want to encourage you as you're coming, as we're going to kind of talk about probably healing and pray for the sick. Bring someone with you that might need a miracle in their bodies. Amen. And I want to really encourage you as we're going to pray for the sick tomorrow. You know, when word of knowledge comes, I want to encourage you because, you know, I told you guys, I've been in Africa for many years, but learning this culture, people can... You know, maybe not me, and maybe I respond a little bit later and come talk to him afterwards. You got to grab your miracle, okay? And so let the word fall on great ground, which I think did tonight. And we just honor, thank you so much for sharing. And I just want to pray, and then we're going to have an amazing evening with a good smile on our face. And we're going to meet again tomorrow, 6, 7 p.m. So Lord Jesus, we honor you. We honor you and honor you and honor you, Lord. God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word tonight. And we just pray, God, that your word will continuously fall on good soil and on good ground. And we thank you, God, that the enemy will not be able to snatch it away. That the seed that was sown fell on good ground. You produce a fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold for your glory.